Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
I have a word that has really been burning in my heart. And, you know, it's just that I believe that God is wanting to speak to us about really just keeping our focus on the King. Amen. Because He is our King. And so this morning's message is entitled Casualties of War. Casualties of War. The enemy has a plan, a divisive plan to try and destroy your life, my life, everyone's life, because he is here to kill, steal, and destroy. So that's his mission. One of the reasons why he so desperately wants you, I will share with you in about 8 minutes, okay, from now. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, and this is so important, and in fact, you know, Naomi and I have been speaking about how important and how heavy it is on our hearts to speak to you guys about marriage. Now, we've been married for 17 years by the grace of God, and truly, it's His grace. Amen. Amen. So we're thankful for that. I know many of you here have been married for much longer than that, and praise God for that, because it's also His grace that you've been married longer. Amen. So I really feel that in my heart that it's something that we need to share with you. And the reason why is because God gave Naomi a dream a few weeks ago. And in the dream, you know, something very powerful happened, and this, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, you know, about it. And so we're going to do that. We're going to be working on that. But I want to say this to you this morning, and this is extremely important, and I need everybody to just try and hear what I'm saying. Most of us, or a lot of us, oftentimes think that going into marriage, once we get into the marriage, our lives will become so much better. The reality is, if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it. I want that to sink in. If you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it, being married. It is so important that when we go into marriage, we go in whole. Not thinking that I'm broken, so maybe my spouse, who might also be broken, the two of us can come together and we can fix each other. Now, of course, the two of you will minister to each other and love each other and share things together. But the truth is, what's required is you being whole and her being whole, and the two of you come together and you become one, and you become a powerful force against the enemy. The enemy desires so greatly to destroy families, to destroy marriages, because you must understand that every single generation that comes forth is a generation that God is planning to use. The union, the marriage union, is an institution that God put in place. There's not many institutions that He put in place, but marriage happens to be one. That's why marriage is between, we see the first marriage was between Adam and Eve. Amen. Not Adam and Steve. Amen. But we won't go there. Amen. Okay, so, amen. So, you know, that was an institution that God had placed there, you know. Now, you know, the enemy comes to pervert, to destroy, to kill. And so we look in our society today and we see all the stuff going on. You must understand that, you know, my heart is never to ridicule or attack or come against anybody, homosexual, not homosexual, whatever. We love them all. But that doesn't mean we agree. Amen. But we love. Amen. Jesus loved them all. In fact, Jesus freaked out the religious people because He hung out with all the sinners. Because He loved the sinners. They couldn't understand, you know, if you are supposed to be a minister or a pastor or someone that is holy, you should not hang out with people that are bad. There's a scripture that says that, you know, that bad company corrupts you, basically. But really, put it into context. Go study it. What it's actually saying is it's speaking about believers. Don't hang out with carnal believers, because they'll pollute you. Whereas the worldly people, we need to be in the world. We need to be the light. Amen. Amen. Now, when it comes to marriage, it's so important, because if the enemy can get you, and destroy the marriage, the child in the house will have a perverted view of the father, of God's love, of what marriage is supposed to be. Listen, God has made it clear. He's a father and we are the bride. It's all marriage related. It's very powerful. Now, many people have been divorced, have been through stuff. Listen, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen. And like I said, if you can't be enough without it, you can never be enough with it. So the point is, do work on yourself. Amen. And so this morning I'm going to show you, because I can see how the enemy is coming against people, even in our church, against marriages. And this morning, I'm telling you now, we're serving the devil notice. We are serving him notice, because we pray for your marriages every single day. We cover you. We cover your marriages. We come against lust. We come against all kinds of deception. We come against perversion. We come against all kinds of attacks from the enemy over your marriages, because your marriages are sacred and they are precious, and we cover them as a church. Our leadership, we pray for you all the time, because we know and understand the value. Amen. Amen. So let's get into it this morning. The first thing I want you to understand is that the enemy works through people. The enemy needs a body to operate. It needs a host. It needs a place to go. Now watch what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew 12, verse 43. Matthew 12, verse 43. I'm going to show you something very powerful. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, in other words, when a demon spirit, an unclean spirit, leaves a man, he goes through dry places. The word dry there actually speaks of waterless places. Dry, waterless. Seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty or unoccupied. You could basically say unoccupied, empty. The key here is, when God delivers you from something in your life, you must make sure that something replaces it. In other words, if God delivers you from addiction, you need to make sure that that void in your life is filled by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, I want you to take note of something. I have done deliverance a few times in my life, and I listen to believers talk about deliverance. One of the things they'll say is, when you cast out a demon, you must command it to go here or command it to go there. Listen, when I cast out a demon, he must go. The Bible says he goes to a dry place. Why? Because unless he has a host, he is in a dry place. A spirit needs a body to operate. A spirit needs a body to do its work. A spirit needs a body to fulfill itself, to feel fulfilled, to go to a place where it's no longer waterless. So what it does is, it looks for someone who it can attach itself to. Now, before Jesus came, there was no deliverance. The first time the kingdom came to earth was through the Christ. That's why the message that Jesus spoke was a message of the kingdom. Because what happened is, in the lives of people, one kingdom was cast out and one kingdom was put inside you. That's the kingdom of God. Amen. So it's the Holy Spirit that replaces the enemy that was trying to thrive in our lives. Now, many people suffer from different things, from especially before they were saved. Addiction to all kinds of things, different things that we go through. People suffer from pornography. They suffer from all kinds of things. Now, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit fills us and replaces those things. But you must understand that spirit that was operating in your life will always come back, because he is not happy. He is not in a good place. He is in a dry place. And in the only way he can have access and have joy and find some relief is if he has the ability to operate through you. That is why. When you were an alcoholic, the enemy will always come and attack you in that area. I'm going to show you some very powerful things this morning. The Lord really has been speaking to me because I need to show you how powerful Jesus really is this morning. We need to understand that you and I, listen, I don't care what they say, what they teach. Listen, you are in a war, like it or not. You are in a war. Paul the Apostle is the one who taught us about this war. The same Apostle that taught us about grace. He was not confused. He knew exactly what he was teaching us. Because he understood grace, therefore he was very powerful in the war. That's the key. If you understand grace, your walk will become one that is far more successful, because every victory you have, everything you overcome, you will realize that it was not by might, it was not by power, it was by His Spirit. The only way you can overcome that addiction, that problem, that pornography, that stealing, that lying, whatever it is that you keep on going back to, is because of His grace. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6, verse number 10. I'll show you what Paul said. I'd love to take the text and really break it down for you in the Greek, because it's so powerful. But I don't have time, and it's not really my focus this morning. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I could preach a whole sermon right there. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need that might. That might is one of the seven flames of the one Holy Spirit. If you are walking with Him and have relationship with Him, He will give you the Spirit of might, which gives you the ability to be bold, to be able to confront the enemy, to really wrestle against the enemy, because you won't be wrestling in your own strength. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the plans, the devices, the attacks of the devil. That's what the word wiles there means. Now watch. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What you need to understand is that your war is not against your boss. Your war is not against your children. Your war is not against your wife. Your war is not against yourself, actually, even to some degree. Sometimes it is you, but sometimes it's not. Amen. In other words, our battle that we're facing, we must recognize that there is something going on behind the scenes. That there is an enemy. The wrestle is not against flesh and blood. If it's not against flesh and blood, if it's not against my boss, if it's not against my child, what is it? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now there we go. There's one of those that speaks about those unclean spirits going to a dry place. This speaks of their different rank and file. You've got to understand, Satan is pretty well organized. It's the church that wants to be chaotic. We like to do things Frank Sinatra style. I did it my way. Right? But the enemy is organized. Principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness, different ranks, different organization. Organized to make sure that you don't fulfill your destiny. Organized to make sure that they'll destroy your marriage. Organized so that they can do everything in their power to destroy you, so that you can lose the one thing that you need, which is hope. Because without hope, there's no faith. And without faith, you are weak and you are stripped of all your armor. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you become a weak, unequipped, unempowered, a weaponless Christian. Amen. Are you guys okay? Okay. Now, I could explain to you all of this, but we don't have time. But understand that the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against these enemies. Now, all the things that go on in your life happen because the enemy is attacking you. He'll even use you to attack you. That's what he does. He's good at it. He knows you. Now, watch this. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, we just went on a fast. Shouldn't everything just be glory, glory, hallelujah? I was fasting, Pastor Alex, and you know, after the fast, all hell broke loose. That's right. Let me show you why. Let's all go in our Bibles to Luke 4, verse number 1. Now, this is Jesus who gets baptized in the Jordan. I'm so excited about the baptism today. Are you guys excited about the baptism? Amen. We're going to have a great time. I can't wait to use our new baptismal pool. We've had it for a while. We just never used it because we got it just too late. So I'm excited. In the old building. So I'm excited. It's going to be great. Luke 4, verse number 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit after his baptism now, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Bible actually speaks there. The word led there actually means the Spirit of God actually drove him into the wilderness. Very powerful. We can do a whole teaching there. Being tempted. Everybody say tempted. That's all you need to say. Now watch. For 40 days by the devil. Listen, his fast, he was tempted every day. So every day the devil came to torment him. Right? And in those days, he ate nothing. So for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing. And afterwards, everybody say afterwards. Now, I want you to take note, afterwards, at the end of the fast. Watch this now. Afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." In that moment, Jesus was hungry and the devil knew it. In other words, at that moment, he was weak in that area. Listen, if Satan knows that you have a problem in a certain area, he is going to go after you in that area because he knows your weaknesses. And when you are weak, that's when he comes and he goes for you. Amen. Jesus is hungry. The Bible says so. He's hungry. So the devil comes and tries to tempt him, to cause him to do something he shouldn't do, and says to him, "If you're hungry, well, then turn the stone into bread." And Jesus resists him. Amen. So when the enemy comes, and watch what he says, because it's so powerful. He says that man shall not live. He says, but Jesus answered him and said, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now I want to come back to that, but I want you to understand something, that the area that the enemy will attack you, once you are having breakthrough, once you are moving with God, listen, the enemy is watching you. He's watching you fast. He's watching you pray. He's watching you seek God. And he's waiting for that moment of weakness. So when you're weak, he can go right to you and once again bring that thing before you that's caused you to fall so many times in the past. You've managed to be clean for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years, for 10 years. But now's the moment because you're weak. He'll bring a little bit of financial pressure. He'll cause an argument between you and your wife. He'll do whatever he can so that he can bring that issue up before you when you're weak. Now watch this, because it's very powerful. Watch this now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. The word used there is the word rhema. There is a big difference between logos and rhema. Jesus is saying that it's every word of God. I will not live by bread alone. Not just bread. It's got to be the word of God, the rhema word, the living word, the spoken word. Now, I want to show you real quick what the difference is between logos and what the difference is between rhema in Scripture. Are you guys okay? All right, let's go to Luke 8, verse 11. This is an example of the logos word, which is the written word of God, which is good and we need it. Can you say amen? All right, Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, the logos. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear it. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fall among thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of the world, of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Now watch. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit. The logos word in your heart, and as you study the word, and the Holy Spirit that now lives inside you will produce fruit in your life. But the only time the word becomes a weapon is when it becomes rhema. Now let me give you two scriptures to give you an example of rhema. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word there is the word rhema. So it's when the word of God is in your heart, now you get revelation, you begin to understand what it means, you begin to speak it, and that's when it becomes a sword, it becomes a weapon. Amen. Listen to this. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is increased when your word becomes not only logos, it becomes rhema. And you can actually use the word. And you have faith and you believe. And you have the ability to hear what God is saying. And then you speak the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Amen. Are you guys with me? Are you understanding? Now let's go back to our story. Jesus is tempted when he's weak because he's hungry. And the enemy comes and knows exactly what the weakness is and presses his buttons. And after he's tempted in several different areas, and we all know Jesus overcomes, I want you to take note of Luke 4, verse 13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Listen, if Satan went back to Jesus and tempted him again, what makes you think he's not coming back after you? There are seasons. Sometimes things are going well. The enemy knows he can't touch you right now. He can't bring that thing that's held you back so many times. He can't bring that thing and throw it in your face. But when you're weak, that's when he'll come and he'll bring it up again. So he waits for an opportune time, for an opportunity. When you are at your weakest, when something's going wrong, he knows that if your wife and you argue, of something you do or you see or whatever it is can cause a little bit of something that causes you to stumble just a little bit, then all of a sudden, while you're just slightly wounded, that's when he's going to come with that thing that will strike the blow. Remember, the Bible says you're in a war. the Bible says you're in a wrestling match. The word wrestle, there's the word pale, which actually speaks of a palestra. If you study it in the Greek, you'll study it and find out that it actually speaks of face-to-face combat. No weapons, no rules, no nothing. We're face-to-face with the enemy. Eyeball to eyeball. You basically run in his face, he's in your face, and you are going for it. So he doesn't play fair when he comes after you. He knows he must attack you when you're weak. Amen. So when it gets tough, the enemy will come. You know, God wants you to be happy. I think you should leave your wife. Well, it's very quiet in Vero Beach today. You know, God wouldn't want you to deal with that woman. You know, he wants you to be happy. And he'll come and he'll say things like that to you. Give up on your marriage or give up on your children or, you know, you need to do this. And, you know, it'll be so much better for you. You know, you should rather marry that guy because he's so much more anointed than your husband. It's what we deal with all the time. When God's institute of marriage and the things that he's given us in our lives, we need to treasure with all of our hearts. The gifts, the calling, the abilities, everything God has given you, treasure it. And remember, it's the word, the rhema word, that has the final authority. In fact, the logos as well. The word of God has the final authority. It all comes down to what the word says. So we can stand on our heads and dance around and, you know, I'm under this and I'm under this dispensation. I don't need to do this. Listen, we need to hear what the word says. Can you all say amen? Amen. The word. Now watch this. Let's all go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3. But before we do that, here's the question. Don't put it on the screen. Take it off. If we're in this battle against these principalities and powers, these spirits that want to destroy us, we know the battle's not against flesh and blood. How do we win the war? Amen. Good show, Brett. Good for you. That's well done. Amen. Okay. You're stealing my thunder, Brett, but come on. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3. He attacks you whenever he can. How do we battle in this war? 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The stronghold is a fortress. The enemy wants to keep you in that stronghold. But the reality is that if you do not war according to the flesh, in other words, if you don't allow those thoughts, those suggestions, those things the enemy brings against you, if you don't allow them to have a place in your mind, in other words, when the devil says to you, listen, honey, you should rather marry that guy because he's going to look after you so much more. He's going to take so much better care of you. And you think to yourself, no, that doesn't make sense. What does the word say? The word says that marriage is an institution. I've only got one reason where I can leave him, and that's if he does something, if he has an affair or something like that. The word has the final authority. The enemy wants to keep you in a stronghold, but when we war in the spirit, what we have available to us will strip all of that authority that the enemy has. Casting down arguments. The word in the Greek is logismos, which actually speaks of thoughts. So it's the thoughts that we have to deal with. When the enemy brings the suggestions, the thoughts into our minds, that's what we have to fight. That's when we have to take the word of God. That's when we have to take what he says and apply it and fight in the spirit with the word. And listen, he has no power over you then. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch. Bringing every thought into captivity. Now watch. To the obedience. Obedience. Not Frank Sinatra style. It's the word. It's the word of God. It's His word that tells me what I need to do. It's His word that gives me the ability to overcome. It's the word. When the word is activated by the Spirit, and I know that I know that I know that what He says, yeah, is true, and the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And when he comes with all kinds of suggestions and all kinds of thoughts, I say, listen, devil, my Bible tells me that the Lord will raise up a standard against you. Get out of my life. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my children. Get out of my business. Get out of my finances. You have no place here. Get out, devil. We would rather create some new doctrine so that we can all feel better, when the reality is the word of God is straightforward. Let's just be obedient to what He says. I love it because He says it again. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now watch. Now you're obedient to Christ. Now watch what that obedience does to the enemy. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you obey what God says. Listen, if the enemy comes and starts to suggest, if things are going wrong in your marriage, if you're struggling with pornography, don't try and think that, oh, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's when you think it's okay that you get trapped. Yes, there's grace for you. Of course there's grace for you. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But you must hate it. Like Paul hated. I hate this thing inside me, this thing I do that I don't want to do. He hated it. He tried so hard. He was desperate. And he understood that it was only grace that could get him to overcome everything he was dealing with. But don't give it place to become a license for you to do things that are not right. The reason why the enemy still has his way in you is because you haven't been obedient. I know what I'm talking about. I speak from experience. Every struggle I have had and have and continue to have is because I do not listen to the word. The problem is the word will only be powerful and give you the opportunity to overcome when it becomes rhema. That's why Jesus said, not bread alone. You see, the word of God, the Logos, is like bread. You can eat it. But when it becomes rhema, that's why he says it is from where, it's when the word comes out of it. He says it will not, you will not be able to, it's not by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word becomes alive. Now you have a sword, you have a weapon. Let's not water down the gospel, guys. Amen. Billy Graham was a great success. Why? Because he told the truth. He spoke the truth. He didn't get fancy like we try and do. He spoke the truth. You want to overcome, obey the word. But let me show you something just to finish this all off. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? Are you getting something out of this morning? Luke 4 verse 18. I've read this and preached this 1,000 times. I love this piece of scripture. We all know the story. Jesus is in the temple and he reads this passage and he says that this is, the scripture is now fulfilled. But I want to show you just one part. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now watch, because here's the word of the Lord to us this morning. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The word proclaim in the Greek means to announce or to preach. Liberty means freedom or to be pardoned or forgiven. The word captives in the Greek is a very powerful word. Watch this now. Remember, we're in a war, right? If we're in a war, the word captive there means, it means to be a prisoner of war. That's what it means in the original language. A prisoner or a prisoner of war. So if we had to put it in like just our language, it would say something like this. So it would be like saying that he came to preach or to announce freedom or forgiveness to those who are in prison or a prisoner of war. He came to tell you the good news. His words are so powerful if you take it and apply it to your life that when you take his word, it will give you the ability. He doesn't say, I'm going to lay hands on you. He doesn't say, I'm going to pray for you. He says that I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to give you the truth. He preached it. He spoke it. And when he spoke it, it has the ability to set the captive free. It has the ability to take you out of that prison you're in. Listen. It's the sin that you're struggling with, that you can't let go of, that seems to hold you down, that seems to keep you in that place. Listen, he is enough. He is enough. Jesus is enough. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. His words are so powerful. They are enough. They are enough. They can heal your broken heart. Listen, it doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how many times you've sinned. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Listen, if you take this word today, I don't care how many times you've heard it, understand this one thing, just this one thing, that he is enough. He is enough. He's enough. He came to set you free. He came to heal your heart. It's his words when he speaks. If you read the word and he says things, he says little statements that just when I read them, my heart explodes. You are right. You can't overcome. But with him, he will overcome. In you. If you are in this place this morning, I have to be obedient. And you suffer from addiction, or you've been held back because of things in your life. Listen, today you will be set free. Today you will be set free. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to take this word and you're going to apply it to your life. And if you do it, I can't make you do anything. I'll take you to the water, but you've got to drink. If you do it, he will set you free. He will set you free. Listen, don't... Yes, I know you fell. Yes, I know you made a mistake. I know, yes, you're so bad. Yes, you're right. Well done. You're right. You're right. But so am I. And so are you. You're in more trouble when you think you're great. You look at Paul's writings, he realized that he was the worst sinner. He even said it, I'm the chief sinner. But you don't have to be in bondage anymore. You can be set free. Listen to me, church. If your marriage is going through a hard time, you do everything in your power to save your marriage. You do everything in your power. You know, Pastor, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm okay and I'm going to just... No! You fight for your bride. You fight for your husband. If you're suffering with an addiction this morning, get out of your chair and come to the front. Don't be afraid. Come quickly. Come quickly. I'm not going to lay hands. I'm going to do a corporate prayer. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. I'm going to pray. And while I pray, if you still want to come up and I'll pray for you. Father, this morning in this place, we thank you that in some way, Father, we all suffer from different addictions and different things in our lives. But Lord, you came to proclaim liberty, to give us your word. Jesus came and walked on this earth. For didn't John say that in the beginning was the Word? For he is the Word. And he came and he dwelled amongst us. And then he gave us the ability when he rose from the grave to be able to speak. And when we speak and we have his Word living inside of us, it will give us the ability to change the nations of this world. Nothing is impossible. Why? Because you are inside us. Father, this morning, do not let us worry about people or about opinions or about what anybody says or what anybody thinks, Father. Today in this place, let us be set free, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit. By your Spirit. Father, I pray for every individual that is in the front here this morning, right now. For those of you standing in the front, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes and start to cry out to him. Listen, I'm a man just like you. I can do nothing for you, but I know that his presence is here and his Spirit is here this morning, and he will touch you and he will change you and he will heal you. Father, I pray right now that you will come upon every one of these standing in the front here. Father, I pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon them, like your word says, that you will bring them liberty, that you will set the captive free. I take authority over the demon spirits from hell that have been coming against you and your household. I break your power now, devil. I command you to go in Jesus' name out of these in the front. Father, I pray that you will just touch them right now. If you're desperate, lift your hand up. Lift your hands up and begin to cry out to him. Father, now I pray that you touch them, that you fill them, that you heal them. The word is enough. His word is enough. Young man, your life is going to change. Your life is going to change. Things are going to be different for you. You've failed many times. You feel like a failure, but things are going to be different for you. From this moment on, all the pain, all the hurt, I see the rejection, I see everything that's come against you and brought you to this place. But from this day, from this morning, things will never be the same for you again. Take this word.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.